Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Today we're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival, which today celebrates its 50th anniversary. We'll be here until noon, and to kick off our program this hour, we've invited Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman to join us. Columbus is experiencing a great time of change, or a time of great change, depending on the way you look at it. New casinos, new racetracks, perhaps. Who knows what? New parks. So we welcome Mayor Michael Coleman now to the show to give us insight on the state of our city right now. Welcome to the show, Mayor.
Good to be here, Ann.
First, before we move on to all the other pressing topics, I wanted to remember Franklin County Sheriff, the late Franklin County Sheriff Jim Carnes, and see if you have anything to say about his passing yesterday.
Well, it's a tragedy. Big Jim Carnes was one of the best men I knew. Very compassionate individual, tough on crime, made a tremendous positive impact on this county. But even beyond the issues of safety and fighting crime and a solid sheriff's department, he was a man of compassion. He loved kids, and everybody loved Big Jim. And it's a terrible thing to see him go, but he left a tremendous legacy to our community, and that's a safer community. And you know what? This city and this county is far better off because of his work than if he had not been here.
Franklin County Sheriff Jim Carnes passed away yesterday from pancreatic cancer. Mayor, there's a lot of talk at the legislative level, at the state level, about regionalization, sharing services between cities and municipalities, townships, counties. One topic that's come up recently, at least on the show, is the idea of the unigovernment. Indianapolis has done it with its county. Do you ever foresee something like that occurring between Franklin County and the city of Columbus?
Actually, what we've done, and of course I know you listened intently at my State of the City many months ago.
With Rapture,
mm-hmm. Prior to the state legislature dealing with this, is that we have bringing together the entire region to address the issues of what we do to share services. It may not mean Unigov in the long term, but we certainly believe that there are some low-hanging fruit and opportunities to work together on sharing services among us all. So I've retained someone on staff to focus on two big issues. The first issue is how regional governments can work closer together to share expenses, maybe even in some cases share revenue. Don't know yet, but we are evaluating it, studying it very carefully. And I have approached, along with others, mayors and city managers for the entire region to begin this discussion. And there seems to be progress in that regard. The second big thing we're looking at is the issue of job poaching. That has also been a regional issue that we need to get a handle on.
The latest example being the Bob Evans headquarters?
Yes, latest example being Bob Evans. On that issue, it is really the straw that has broken the camel's back in this region for many reasons, not just because of the fact that I believe that the chief executive officer of that company either committed fraud or committed unethical acts as it related to this move, in that he represented to the state that Bob Evans would leave the state of Ohio if they weren't given certain incentives to move to New Albany. Well, the truth is they had never intended to move to New Albany. Leave the state of Ohio. And they gamed the system. So to that extent, I think that it was a real problem the way Bob Evans handled this and his chief executive officer, how they handled it, and I think somebody will look at it very, very carefully, because the truth is the state didn't create jobs. All they did was move jobs from Columbus to New Albany, and they were misrepresented, too, by Bob Evans.
Don't you think that's, however you want to call it, those are some strong words. don't you think that companies are gaming the system and have been gaming the system since the 90s when these job creation tax incentives were
I think it's gotten created? To the point it's gotten to the point where the private sector sees the competition between regional governments, and they game the system as much as they can. In this case, the gaming rose to the level of unethical practice or a fraudulent practice.
Do you think that there's some way that the state could force companies to verify? How would you...
Well, actually, that's one of the things we're looking at. I met with someone yesterday who says, and we're going to follow up on this, but the state of Indiana provides that the mayors of jurisdictions where the companies are moving from have to sign off before the state provides an incentive for a move from one jurisdiction to the next in the same region. And so that's something we're looking at. Don't know where to go. But certainly what we have to get to is that the regional governments need to understand that this is not in the best interest of the regional economy to move jobs from one pocket, from the right-hand pocket to the left-hand pocket in the same pair of pants doesn't help the community, doesn't help our regional economy. And in fact, what happens is it has a negative consequence to the regional economy because the tax incentives sometimes are so deep and so intense that it impacts in a negative way the entire economy. And Bob Evans is the prime example of this. And in this case, what they said, if Columbus, if you reach a certain tax incentive level, you will keep your jobs in the city of Columbus. That we did. We reached that threshold, and they moved anyway, after representing to the state that they would move to another state when they had no intention of moving to another state from the outset.
My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question or comment for us, you can go to Facebook, the All Sides with Dan Fisher Facebook page. You can also give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, and we'll try to get your question or comment to the mayor. Cooper Park, they're going to start holding hearings next week about what's to become of the facility out there, the old Cooper Stadium site. Will it become a racetrack or not? Any thoughts about that?
Yes. I come out early on and said, you know, I don't think I'm going to support this. And the reason I wasn't going to support it is because I felt the developer needed to do more. I have since met with the developer, and on many occasions the staff have met with them as well. They seem to be moving in the right direction right now. And so it is coming up before city council. They'll debate it in a very public, open way and see where it goes.
There are some concerns, though. People feel like they're not going to be heard properly because there's too much money to be made and that they're not going to be heard about the damages and what it could do to their neighborhoods.
People will be heard. City Council has a great reputation of listening to the concerns of the community, and they just have to raise it. There's points on both sides of this debate, and the Franklinton community will express their point of view. Another community nearby who supports this in the same very right next door to it will say just the opposite. So you have two neighborhoods saying two different things. One neighborhood saying we don't support it, the other neighborhood saying they do. So there'll be an opportunity for everybody to stand up and say, look, I don't like this or I do like this, and this is the reason why.
They have so far resolved the latest issues with the casino on the west side. It's full speed ahead, right?
Well, there's a couple of contingencies that need to be fulfilled in our settlement agreement. And those are contingencies that, frankly, the city really has no control over, and we're hopeful that they will be resolved. One contingency is the purchase or the sale of the old casino site. The second one is the dismissal of the suits pending between the casino folk and the dispatch people. Those two major contingencies have to be resolved at some point. I don't remember exactly the details of when that has to be resolved, but those are things we're hopeful will take place. We're encouraging everybody to move forward on that, and we'll see what happens.
Have you heard anything from the Dispatch printing company about whether or not they're interested in dropping that lawsuit?
Well, I think the reason the Dispatch got into this in the very first instance was the issue of annexation, that the commitment was that there would be annexation. And I think the whole issue is the casino going to follow through with the annexation? And I think from the Dispatch, I can't speak for them, and I'm not speaking for them, but in my historic conversation with them on this issue, it all focus on the issue of annexation. So is there going to be annexation?
Right, but what comes first, the chicken or the egg then?
Well, you know, that's what they have to work out.
If it is all worked out, if it's resolved, annexation takes place, all of that happens, is there any relationship between the resolution of the casino issue and what might happen with the Nationwide Arena and how the city might work with the Blue Jackets on that?
As you know, I have been very supportive of trying to resolve the issue of the arena district and the arena as it relates to the Blue Jackets. It is my opinion that in the event that the arena situation is not resolved in the city of Columbus and the Blue Jackets are not resolved in the city of Columbus, they end up moving to another country or another city. It's going to have a very negative consequence, the economic aspects of that district and the city of Columbus. We made a lot of progress. And I think it'll have an impact on the future as well, in a negative way. So I support the idea of trying to resolve that situation, even if it means utilizing some of the casino revenues to help out in that regard. But also, we've talked about using some of the casino revenues for all kinds of issues that are facing our community as it relates to marketing and job development, economic development. This would fit right in there. As it relates to social services, as it relates to the arts, those are things I think we need to look at. Marketing of the city of Columbus. We're not very good at marketing our city. We're one of the best cities in the country. And we need to let people know how great we are as a community. So I see use of some of these casino revenues for general operating funds, police and fire services, basic city services, but also addressing some of these long-term issues.
My guest is Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman. If you have a question or comment for him, you can get to us on Facebook, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Did you know that more people have walked on the moon than have explored the deepest parts of the oceans? I'm Ira Flatow. Whether it is the bottom of the Marianas Trench or a new planet in our solar system, each week on Science Friday, we take you along to explore new places. So hop on and join us each week on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation Science Friday begins later this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. Currently 65 degrees in downtown Columbus, a mix of sun and clouds today, and a high near 80 this afternoon. Clear skies tonight, a low of 58 degrees. A few clouds return tomorrow, also a chance of rain building throughout the day, and warm for tomorrow, a high of 90 degrees. Still a slight chance of rain tomorrow night, and a low of 65. And then back up into the 80s for Sunday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. We're talking about this and that and all the other thing right now. If you have a question or comment for him, go ahead. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. We do have an email from George. He says the Dispatch reported that the city of Columbus is spending more than $48 million each year for no big contracts. It found that over 90% of the recipients of these no big contracts had made political contributions of $1,000 or more to City Hall. Why does Columbus use no-bid contracts to such an extent when they are virtually non-existent in private business?
Well, I think he may be mistaken. All our contracts are bid.
Yeah.
So with all due respect to the person who emailed
George.
In, George, all our contracts are bid, and the only contracts that cannot be bid are contracts under, I think, less than $50,000. So he's wrong. All our contracts are bid, except for those, you know, those $50,000 or less.
And those aren't very...
Those aren't going to amount to, what, $48 million? Is that what he said?
Yes.
Yeah.
$48 million.
Yeah.
Okay, George, if you can give us a source for that, please do. The Columbus Commons opened.
Yes.
Last week.
Yes. Great thing. Great thing in the city of Columbus. It wasn't that long ago where I stood out in front of the city center that was vacant and abandoned, knowing that city center would continue to be vacant and abandoned forever, maybe, you know, in our lifetime. It just wasn't going to be filled. We made a decision to take control of it and made a decision to demolish it. And it was frankly controversial at the time. But I think that as people see Columbus Commons, they will see that Columbus has to change. Any city that stays the same falls behind. I believe that significantly, that's the case. And so this Columbus Commons will be a park. Around the circumference of the park will be commercial and residential and retail development is our intent. And I think over the next 5 years, you'll see, it's a jewel now with Columbus Commons, but it'll just get even better over time. And once the side of Mile is open, we're going to see this whole area of the city that was once dying on the vine come back in a very dramatic way and be one of the top tourist attractions and one of the proudest areas of our entire community. And you'll see thousands of people down there, people out, not from the city, but people that live here as well, that believe in the future of our city and believe in the strength of our city. And this past weekend, Columbus Commons had thousands and thousands of people every day there enjoying each other. We're a very family-oriented city, and that marked, you know, families coming together in a very open and wonderful environment.
One of the problems or one of the concerns some folks have had has been security there. And until that perimeter is filled up with those commercial operations and residential structures, it is kind of an open area. What are you doing, or what's the city doing to make sure that it's properly patrolled?
Well, let me ask you this question. Did you know it's one of the safest areas in the entire region? Let's start at that point. The park right now, that area of the city of Columbus, is ranked as one of the safest places in the state of Ohio and in the region.
Well, it's only been around for a few days.
Well, no, even before it was there. Even before Columbus Commons was there.
Okay.
And now that it is there, it's going to continue to be a safe place. Now, what we have done, we're not going to post police patrols at every corner and you know, full time to stay there, because there are areas of the city that need our police. But what we will have are the crime patrol, the downtown CID people, along with other people that will be there to keep the place safe, keep the whole neighborhood safe. So it is already a safe place. It's one of the safest places in the state. Let's start there, right? And then we're going to keep it safe.
So it's all downhill from here then, right?
Well, no, it isn't. I know it isn't. I don't even know why you suggest it's not going to be safe. I don't even understand.
I didn't say. I said, yeah. Some folks are concerned. That was one of the criticisms at the outset. It's still one of the criticisms that some people have. They don't think it's a... You know, it's a lot of open area, and it won't be safe.
Well, that's mythical.
Okay.
And that is just not true either.
We have a call from Jeff in Bexley. He couldn't stay on the phone, but he wanted an update on the cleanup efforts around Children's Hospital.
Yeah. It's doing well. It's an area that has come together very, very well. We still have a ways to go. When Children's Hospital was approached the city about us providing some help and some incentives to help with the redevelopment of the area and jobs, I said, you know, we'll consider it, but here's what we need. What we need is the Children's Hospital to have an investment in the neighborhood around it. And we put together a plan with Children's, and there's multi-millions of dollars that are being invested in the area around it to take vacant and abandoned homes and convert them into and rebuild them and rehab them into a way that people can now live there and the whole area is lifted up. So when we see economic development, all these jobs coming to the area, it was important to me and to the city that the whole area be lifted up, not just the buildings and the property and the campus of Children's Hospital. And it's happening. So there's a great partnership that's engaging healthcare, education, residential, new residential opportunities in safety in the whole area. And it's coming around. And we're using that model on steroids on the east side of Columbus, just a few blocks from here in the King Lincoln District and the east side of Columbus with Ohio State University, who, like Children's, came to me and said, look, can you help us out on campus with some help on the what's called Project One, which is their medical center expansion? And I said to Dr. Gee, we'll help out, but here's what I need from you. What I need from you is the investment of millions of dollars on the east side of Columbus, where you already have an asset, and that's OSU East Hospital. Using the model of Children's Hospital along Parsons Livingston, we said, let's make it an even stronger effort over here. So we actually have organized an advisory committee of neighborhood residents and people to invest $10 million of Ohio State money together with city money, together with CMHA resources, Columbus Metropolitan Housing Authority resources. And we're going to transform the whole area with residential, healthcare, education, and jobs in this whole area of the city. And see, the city can't always do it alone. And so this, to me, was an opportunity in both the Children's Hospital area and the east side of Columbus to bring in new partners to help with an investment policy that will, over time, transform the area.
We are broadcasting live from the 50th Columbus Arts Festival. My guest is Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question or comment for him, you can get to us via Facebook, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question or comment for the mayor, it's welcome. So give us a call. Speaking of Ohio State University, what do you think about Jim Tressel resigning as coach of the Buckeyes?
Well, I know Jim, Coach Tressel. I think he is a good man. I think he's been a good coach. He made the decision, and the university, they all worked together on this, that it was in the best interest of the university that he resign. And after it's all said and done, that's probably the right thing to do. But I must say that I believe he's been a good coach. I think he's been a good leader, and I admire Jim Tressel.
This whole incident, and it's not over with yet, the NCAA is investigating, and we'll continue that in August. It has a lot of people soul-searching about the value of sports and its relationship to higher education, and there's no stronger relationship probably in the world between higher education and sports than at Ohio State University. And to that end, it brings a lot of economic development to the city of Columbus. The city of Columbus benefits a lot. It brings thousands and thousands of people every year to the city. What do you think about that relationship and whether it's appropriate going forward?
Whether what's appropriate?
The emphasis on big-time sports.
Well, you know, first of all, I support the Ohio State Buckeyes. I'm the biggest Buckeye fan maybe in the country when it comes to football and basketball and all the other sports and that Ohio State offers. But there always has to be balance. And the balance is, you know, educating our young people first. That's the first priority of any educational institution. And giving them the opportunity to excel in life and to prepare themselves for the challenges of life. Because it's tough out here. Whether it be in sports or whether it be in law or engineering or some profession. So the balance always has to be there. And I think overall Ohio State's done a pretty good job. Not every institution is perfect, but Ohio State is the largest economic element of our community.
Right.
It's a multi-billion-dollar industry right in the heart of our city. And it's a huge, huge entity and enterprise. So my point of view is Ohio State University has been such a plus to the city of Columbus. And I would much rather it be here than not. And they have made such a tremendous contribution to our economic vibrancy. And frankly, a lot of our economic development policies, I hate to laugh about that. People can't see this.
It's a dinosaur made from balloons. And that's coming from Kosai, I think. Yeah.
Kosai. Dino time.
With the blue mouth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what happens when you broadcast live
from the 50th annual.
50th annual Columbus Arts Festival. But
Downtown
Ohio
Columbus.
State University, our Ohio State University is a great institution in a great city, and it does a real good job on these things. Yes, there have been bumps along the way. This is a bump along the way. We'll fix it.
Well, yeah, like I said, people are doing some soul searching, though. Coach Tressel made more money than Gordon Gee, makes more money than you. You run a big city.
I think the defensive
makes more money.
I think the defensive backs coach makes coaches make more money than
right.
me. And you.
Well, that's I was really joking about me. But what does that say about it? What our priorities really are? I mean, we're a capitalist society, supposedly, so we what people are paid is what we value them.
Well,
except in my case,
the truth is that it's not just Ohio State. It's just college sports generally across the country. I mean, colleges and universities pay their coaches a lot of money. And if you can't, keep them at an institution, they'll go somewhere else. It's like this whole issue of poaching between jurisdictions, it's sort of the same thing. If you don't pay your coaches well and your people well, they'll go to the next university out of their own self-interest.
There's got to be some universities out there shaking in their boots right now about the search for the new coach.
Yeah, well, that's something to think about. But, I have faith in Coach Fickell. You'll see how that turns out. He might be the coach. People are talking about all these coaches all over the country. Our coach might be right under our noses, may be coaching this year. This same coach may be coaching here for the next 10 years. So let's give it a good, fair evaluation, see what we have right here in Columbus already.
What you're the Ohio chairman of mayors against illegal guns.
Yes.
And there are about 550 mayors in the United States who are part of that coalition, including 72 mayors in Ohio.
Yes.
They are asking Congress to toughen gun laws regarding background checks and other things. But right under your nose at the State House, gal darn it. They're just not paying attention, are they? They want to permit concealed weapons in bars.
Yes. I can tell you something. Common sense is not ruling in the legislature these days on a lot of different fronts. This is one of them. When we fight so hard to keep guns off the street, when we fight so hard to try to keep our violence under control, We have a strike force that's out there right now in the streets, right now. This will be their second or third weekend, this second weekend coming up this weekend, where they'll be out there confronting gangs, stripping them of their weapons and their drugs in their face. And what happens? Guns are made more available in the State House. Legally.
Well, not in the state house.
Well, no, that's the
in
point
the state
I want
to. They're voting to make guns more legal.
That's a good point. You know, they've provided for the legal concealment of guns in bars, and alcohol and guns is a toxic mix. You know, and they say, well, gun owners are all gun owners who are legal gun owners, and there's most of them are good people. And they follow the law very well. But I have to tell you, when you mix alcohol with good people, even good people break the law. It's like alcohol and driving. You're a good person when you drive normally and you've obtained your license, and you've done all the things necessary. You pass the test. But when you get that alcohol in you, something happens. And usually is not a good thing. You turn from a good person to someone who's violated the law. And it puts bars and restaurant owners and the patrons of those restaurants in jeopardy, and our police force in jeopardy, when you're allowed to carry concealed weapons in the bars. It's a problem. It doesn't make sense. While at the same time...
Well, they're not supposed to drink.
Right. You're not supposed to drink when you drive either. But so it'd be like... All right, it's okay to drink and drive. Yeah, this doesn't make sense. So the state legislature doesn't allow concealed weapons in their own chambers, but is allowing concealed weapons in the bars and restaurants around the state and in the city of Columbus. It's hypocrisy.
Have you been, you know, is that group, I mean, is this an issue that you're talking about with, you know, the people who represent Columbus?
Absolutely.
And what do they say?
Generally, there's some folks that support it and some folks don't support the idea. So I have found that those who are typically from the rural areas of our state tend to favor this law. It's a kind of a generalization. There's even some exception in that regard mm-hmm. as well. Those who are from the urban areas, whether Democrat or Republican, tend to support the idea of not having concealed weapons in bars.
My guest is Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman. We are broadcasting live on location at the 50th Annual Columbus Arts Festival. It's just cloudy enough to make it nice out here. Beautiful weather. We've enjoyed some fruit smoothies from the smoothie man across the street. Thank you so much for those. And some fresh fruit. We're going to be talking to... folks that are managing the festival coming up later on in the program. But right now, if you have a question for the mayor, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page at All Sides with Ann Fisher's Facebook page and post something there. And my producer, Amy Jurevich, back at the studio, will snag the comment and we'll get it on the air. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Last week on Car Talk, you missed a brilliant demonstration of first-rate diagnostic skill.
Corn carriers are in there with their little backpacks, you know.
Singing, hi-ho, hi-ho.
It's off to the muscle we go. Da, 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 da.
Do you hear any singing?
No.
You turn the engine off. Don't miss the fun this week.
Join us for Car Talk.
And Car Talk it begins tomorrow at noon on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher today on 89.7 NPR News. And All Sides is broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival downtown at the corner of Cleveland Avenue and Long Street. Joining Ann this hour is Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman. In the next hour of the program, beginning at 11 o'clock, the president of the Greater Columbus Arts Council and several artists and photographers who are featured at the festival will join Ann. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and WOSU Public Media will be at the Columbus Arts Festival all weekend long, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Visit the WOSU booth and talk to our staff, volunteers, and hosts. For more information, visit columbusartsfestival.org. 66 degrees with a mix of sun and clouds, a high of 80 degrees today, clear skies overnight, a low of 58, clouds for tomorrow and a warm day with a high of 90 with a chance of rain throughout the day. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting on location live from the Columbus Arts Festival downtown at Cleveland and Long. If you want to join us down here, please do. We'll be here for another hour after this. My guest right now is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question or comment, we're taking emails. We have a couple waiting for us right now. If you want to email us, allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. Did I say, Mike Coleman?
No, it's okay. Mike, that's fine.
Mike, okay.
Just want you to remember who you're with. You had a little sign out earlier.
Oh, one of my little tricks of the trade, Mayor. We have an email from Sarah. She says, I tuned in late, but have you talked about the increase in violence around the city this summer? I know it increases every summer, but this seems like a lot very early before school is even out. Is the mayor concerned? I want guns off the streets. Better gun control, please.
Well, I want guns off the streets, too. And just kind of, can I ramble on this?
Yeah,
a little
you can
bit?
Ramble.
All right. First of all, I agree. The violence is such that it's very disturbing that we are taking initiative with respect to our strike force. This will be the second weekend coming up where our strike force will be out significantly.
What exactly does the strike force do?
What they do is they take the best and the brightest officers at the street level. And we can't get too detailed about this because I'm sure what happens is when we have a game plan, it's learned, and the bad guys, the gangs, tend to adjust accordingly.
Okay.
Pretty smart people, and they have high the technology as well. And they probably even listen to your show. I don't even know. But so
are
we can't tell
there?
Them too much.
If you're out there, send us an email. Tell us what you think.
But the point is they're out there, and what they do is they go on offense during these weekends, these certain times during any given week. And offense means that they have intelligence, they utilize information, they utilize, and they really get in the face of some of these gangs. They take the guns away from them. They recover stolen vehicles. They recover drugs. They recover money. And so they're out there in force, and we'll talk more about that later during the course of the summer as they have an impact. Now, having said that, when the weather gets warm, and we went from winter directly into summer mm-hmm. without a break, it was like
crazy.
Yeah. And so it is historic in this city and every other urban area in America where when summer comes, that's when fights break out, that's when violence increases. Now, having said that, this city's and violence is bad, and we fight it. We fight it very hard during the summer, in particular, because that's when it's at its peak. Now, having said that, our city has grown by 10% in the past decade. But the truth is that the violence hasn't grown at that rate in this past decade. We hear a lot more about it because its use of guns has been the method of the violence more than any other time. There is more guns in the streets of Columbus and in the state of Ohio than at any other time I have known. And the reason there is because it's so easy to get a gun in the state of Ohio. And it's so bad in the state of Ohio that other states are getting their guns from the state of Ohio. And in New York and other states around the country, other cities around the country, they look to the state of Ohio as that your laws are impacting the people of our streets in these communities around the country. So while we're fighting guns and violence in the neighborhoods, the state legislature in our state is making them more available, much easier to get. And so we try to fight this in our legislature while also trying to fight it in our neighborhoods.
You know, speaking of, another thing that comes with summer is a lot of idle youth.
Yes.
And what efforts are afoot now? With funding problems the way they are, can the city afford to employ them?
I mean, well, let me tell you what we are doing. There's two sides of this coin. One side of the coin is the enforcement side, and we're very focused on that. There's another side of the coin, and that is how do you divert young people from violence into a better life? Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find jobs this summer, 2,500 young people jobs. Now, here's what happened. There is no federal dollars available for summer jobs, as there have been in some summers of the past. So what I did was I called in COWIC and business leadership, and I asked the business leadership and COWIC to go out and get businesses to hire young people anyway during the summer with their own resources, not taxpayer dollar resources. And so this summer, we're going to hire about 2,500 young people will be hired for summer jobs. And I think it was in May 18th, this past May, where we had 2,000 young people show up at COSI, lined up all the way out to the street with many, many employers inside ready to hire them on the spot. We gave them a job training session right there. And I walked the halls right there. I said, pull up your pants, take off your hat, take the earrings out your nose, and let's go in there and get that job. You want that job for the summer? And guess what? They're getting them. Now, having said that, there wasn't not one member of the press there. Not one. Because nobody got shot. Nobody got beat up. And these young people wanting jobs.
Now, I read about it. Someone came and took a picture or something, didn't they?
Well, I don't know. But I didn't see any press.
Okay.
I don't think.
So how many were hired?
We're up to like 2,100 now. We're trying to get to 2,500. And that starts in June.
Okay.
Sometime this month. And number two, I started a new program called APPS, A-P-P-S. What APPS is that remember when I had to close down the rec centers?
Mm-hmm.
I opened them all back up. And I went to the rec centers, and I noticed that we're getting a lot of young people under the ages of 12, 11 years old into these rec centers. But I noticed that there weren't many young people between the ages of 14 and 20, 18, 21 in that range. Yet, the highest incidence of crime during the summer with those young folks, when they're idle, they sometimes don't do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Our rec centers are centers of hope. So what we're doing is I set aside $400,000 or so. And we established this program. What the program will be is we're engaging what I call street soldiers. We're going to go out into the streets of our city and intervene in young people who are standing on the corner, hanging out in the street, and try to bring them into our rec centers and develop programming and let them develop some programming. Why do they want to be in this rec center? Help them develop that, the programming that attracts them into our rec centers. And try to maintain them in our rec centers. We're going to announce that, our effort, in the next couple weeks as well. And I've already announced it a couple times. We're going to announce it again. I doubt the press shows up. Nobody's getting shot.
Well, everyone's hearing you now. See you, Columbus.
Second thing, the other thing we're doing is city readers. City readers, where we are engaging young people in a reading program. And a mentorship effort. We had a big event 2 weekends ago where lots of young people, teenagers, were reaching out to. We're going to teach them to read and make them read. Not make them read. They have to voluntarily read, but get them to read and turn them from readers into leaders as well. And that's a program we're engaged in as well. Those are our three big efforts that we're doing this summer, together with our regular efforts of recreation and parks and other things. So there's kind of two sides of this again, enforcement and intervention. I think this summer is going to be a summer of intervention, one way or another. Intervention on the enforcement side, on the law enforcement side, or intervention on the human development side. I want intervention this summer, and I want to intervene in young people's lives to get them on the right track. And those who are on the wrong track, we want to address that as well.
Email from Mike. Back to the casino issue. Mm-hmm. Why is the dropping of the lawsuit between Penn National and the Dispatch part of the contingency with the city, since both of those entities are private enterprises? Why is the city advocating for the Dispatch? That is not the city's business.
Well, this was something the casino wanted in the settlement, not the city of Columbus. I don't think they ought to be part of our settlement. I don't think the arena district effort ought to be part of our effort. But in a settlement where you have both sides, the casino and the city, they bring their interests to the table, and the judge accepts and rejects some things. And in this case, those are two issues I didn't want contingencies, frankly. And we fought to keep them out. But the fact of the matter is, casino folks want it in, and they're in.
Okay. Gary is on the phone from Linden. He wants to talk about a bike trail by Easton. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Oh, thank you very much. Mayor Coleman, I'm an avid user of all the bike paths in the county, and I was all excited when they started the little segment of the Allen Creek Trail on Sunbury Road there, just off Sunbury. And I was hoping that I'd be able to ride to my fitness center up there in Easton, and it turns out that the section does not connect on either end. I find it kind of disconcerting that all that money was put in and it wasn't either finished farther north where it would connect with the trail going up into Westerville, or farther south where it would connect to the Three Creeks Trail. Do you have any ideas on why that was done that way, so it's now kind of isolated there?
Well, the intention is that we're going to connect up all the way from Three Creeks all the way to Polaris. It takes time to build these things. We have a bicentennial bikeway plan. We can't build it all at one time. But it won't be very long now. Very soon, we'll have it all connected up. And I need to go back and look at this. But my recollection is by 2012, we'll have that connector all connected up, where you can go all the way from Three Creeks all the way up to Polaris area, uninterrupted. So that's our goal, and we got to do a piece at a time. And it's just not there yet, but we'll get there.
We have an email from a listener. They ask, what is the mayor's take on the Republican-controlled state government's move to balance the state budget mainly on the backs of local governments? What will happen to the city's budget in the coming 1 to 3 years because of this?
Well, it's a problem. I call it pass the buck budgeting. Rather than looking at their own state government and making the cuts in their government, they have moved the cuts from them to the cities and counties of the state of Ohio. With the impact in the city of Columbus will be that we will lose 50% over a two-year period of state funding.
From the local government fund.
And the local government fund is our second highest source of funding. And we use that money for police and fire and safety and basic city services. About 71% of our general fund, and this goes into the general fund, is used for police and fire alone. And so when you lose that much money, and it amounts to about 20 plus or 20 million or so, there's going to be a consequence. We don't know what the consequence will be in the city of Columbus. I can tell you that in other cities, Columbus, frankly, is far more financially healthy than other cities. But even with that, there'll be a consequence, and we don't know what that consequence is yet. In other cities, for example, Cleveland has already started laying off 300-400 people. Many of them are police and firefighters. And that is not a consequence that I want to see in our city, what they're doing in Cleveland and other cities. I can also tell you there are other cities around the state that will really be significantly damaged. Other counties will be significantly damaged, and the quality of life will go down in those cities and those counties as a result of this cut. Now, my hope and my goal is that the quality of life and the delivery of services will not be substantially affected in the city of Columbus, but there will be a consequence.
Will you be able to keep the promises you made with the city income tax when it passed?
Well, so far I've been able to keep those promises.
So my
goal is to keep those promises. But I got to tell you something, state government's making it awfully difficult. Hopefully in the future I won't say it'll make it impossible.
Dan is on the line from Columbus. He wants to talk about illegal immigration and what is being done about it in Columbus. Dan, we have just a minute or so left, but welcome to the show.
Yes, I was just wondering what they were going to do about, I know in my apartment area they have one immigrant or somebody who maybe have a green card will rent an apartment, and then the whole families that are illegal immigrants, Somalians or others, will come in and trade out.
Okay. What's your question?
What are they doing about this illegal immigration issue?
Well, illegal immigration is a federal issue, and that's where it will remain. I don't think anyone, illegal immigration is illegal, but immigration is not. And I think we need to kind of be, I'm always watchful of people that interchange those terms. And in this case, my point is this, that illegal immigration is an issue for the federal government to address, and not cities.
Well, just a quick email from Joe. Columbus Commons is great. I was there last weekend. Great potential, great space. I think we need more to do, more to watch. And I said just a plaza of water jets for kids to play in like Easton. But prices were out of sight. A family venue would have family prices. I refused to buy a glass of iced tea, which cost $5, and we're running out of time.
All right. Let's talk about the fountains.
Okay, quick, 15 seconds.
All right. South of Mile will have those fountains. Come back after July 7th. You'll be able to play in those fountains.
Okay, fountains will be here. Thank you for that, and thanks for the conversation, Mayor Mike Coleman.
Thank you. Good to be here, Ann.
And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.